As a lead editor for one of the world's top publishers of books about the visual arts, Amanda Renshaw has no shortage of material to consider for their massive art book called Art and Place, Site-Specific Art of the Americas. Its 800 photographs chronicle many of the most significant outdoor sculptures, buildings, murals, petroglyphs, temples, cathedrals, parks, plazas, and even subway lines from Toronto all the way to Patagonia. She joins us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us about some of the stunning site-specific art that may be just around the corner from where you live. Amanda, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So what is site-specific art?
Well, site-specific art can be the most exciting art on the planet. It's art that's made for a specific place where the subject or the meaning of the work is closely intertwined with the location in which it's situated. It's where the artist has had to adapt, had to shape, had to reform the work to fit the site. And it's art that you can find in the most unusual places. You can find it in open fields, in libraries, in opera houses, in caves, in state capitals, even in hydroelectric plants. I think there's a hydroelectric plant actually included in the book.
I noticed the Simon Bolivar hydroelectric plant in Venezuela. Beautiful,
that's
beautiful,
right.
Beautiful stuff. And you wouldn't think about finding art in a hydroelectric plant.
No.
We're talking about giving an art an extra dimension, really, by connecting it with the site. What's a good example that comes to mind as you edited this book where art connecting with the site makes it just so much more meaningful?
Well, as you can hear from my accent, I'm from the old world, where many of us have this sort of incorrect, completely wrong notion that one of the things that makes Europe different is that there's an artwork around every corner. And as this book tells you, it's not true. It's absolutely not true that there are amazing, spectacular, uplifting and outstanding examples across North, South and Central America. New Yorkers, for example, have art practically on every street corner and site-specific art at their fingertips. I mean, if you take a walk down Broadway, all the way down to Lower Manhattan and on the corner of Liberty Street, there's a 20-foot-high, enormous red cube that's delicately balanced on one of its corners. This is a sculpture by Isamu Noguchi. It was installed in 1968, and it seems to be a kind of contradiction. It's heavy, but it's also extremely lightweight. It's a beautiful balancing act. It's so beautifully balanced that it looks as if a butterfly landed on one side of it. It might topple over. There's a hole, a cylindrical hole lined with grey metal that's bored straight through the middle. And as the hole isn't visible from every angle, you kind of feel the need to walk around the cube to see what each facet is like and what might reveal itself as you make your way walking around it. Now, it's an impressive structure in its own right, and it would be extremely impressive if it was in a museum, but it has an even greater dimension because it is site-specific. And what's really rewarding about site-specific art is that as the space around it changes, so does your interpretation of it. The red cube is one block east of Ground Zero, and it's also in the heart of Corporate and Banking District. And actually, when I saw it for the first time, which was only 18 months ago, it made me think how fragile the world can be and how important it is to keep some kind of, I suppose, balance in our lives. And right opposite, just sort of on the other end of the spectrum, on the other side of the street, is another sculpture by Marc de Souvereau, which is called Joie de Vivre, which is French for the joy of living. And this is a soaring 70-foot, also painted red sculpture that points up into the sky and makes you look up. It forces your eye to stretch along the red shafts of Core 10 painted steel to the tops of the buildings above and emphasizes that sort of cavernous feeling of being right down at ground level and amid the skyscrapers. So that's what site-specific can really do if it's in the right place and it's uplifting.
And having experienced those pieces of art in their appropriate intended site, to see them in a museum would be a heartbreak after knowing how right it is to have them out in the elements.
You're right. They would completely lose their exuberance, their meaning, their excitement. Sometimes a museum can be a mausoleum.
Oh, a sad but true comment, I'm sure. Especially if you've just put together a 400-page collection of coffee table collection of all this great art in the Western Hemisphere. We're talking about New York right now, and I noticed in the New York section you even had a page dedicated to a permanent sound installation, The Noise of the Modern World, right there on Times Square, which a lot of people might miss amid all the other noise.
Absolutely. In fact, there are so many amazing site-specific works in the city by artists like George Siegel and Christopher Park, Roy Lichtenstein at Times Square subway station, and amazing earth artworks by Walter de Maria in Soho, unknown if you don't know exactly where they are, but incredibly uplifting when you get to see them.
Amanda, you're from Britain, and I'm wondering, as you've studied and worked on art in the Western Hemisphere, is there anything distinctive about art of the Americas compared to in Britain or Europe that has a certain spirit or exuberance that you noticed as you put art and place together?
I think that site-specific art is uplifting, in fact, where good site-specific art is uplifting wherever it is, whether it's outsider art, whether it's art that's by artists that you would find in a museum, if it's truly responding to the space, whether it's the Sistine ceiling or the Watts Towers in Los Angeles, they can be just as affecting and uplifting as each other.
Now, the Watts Tower is interesting. That's a good example of, neighborhood or folk art. And it's sort of a proud statement in a neighborhood that's long been synonymous with poverty and violence and political strife. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Amanda Renshaw. She's the lead editor of Art and Place, Site-Specific Art in the Americas. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Nicole's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Nicole, thanks for your call.
Hi there. I just wanted to mention two of my favorite site-specific art pieces or groups of pieces. One is Fair Park in Dallas. It was built as a World Fair site in 1936 to commemorate the Texas Centennial. And so all the buildings in the park are this fantastic Art Deco modern style, and some of them are just really over-the-top decoratively. And many of the buildings have murals about Texas history, culture, about the future. One of the murals looks like some kind of Buck Rogers space travel thing. Mm. There's sculptures. It's just, I think it's like 70 acres that the park takes up. And it's just really a treasure that not even that many people in Dallas appreciate, I think.
It's so funny to have the opportunity to go back to the 1930s and see what people then saw when they looked into the future and to know that we're there now.
Exactly, exactly. And the other one that I love, I just recently discovered when I was in Philadelphia, an artist named Isaiah Zager has taken this real estate on South Street and made it into this mosaic and found object wonderland. His mosaics are all over the neighborhood, but he's particularly taken this one property. The whole house is mosaic, basically, from everywhere you look. And then outside, it's all this other structure, this mosaic, that's multiple levels. There's all these found objects intermixed with all the mosaics. There's words and feelings and it's just incredible, and it's something that somebody of any age could enjoy.
You know, this is just such a good example of how we can get out of the museums and enjoy art that is site-specific. So Nicole's recommending the Art Deco murals and the sculptures at Fair Park in Dallas, and in Philadelphia, the Magic Gardens mosaic. Nicole, thanks for your call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Sid is on the line in Atlanta, Georgia. Sid, thanks for your call.
Thanks for being on, Amanda. I recently took a trip to Guadalajara, Mexico, and before that had been somewhat knowledgeable about the Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo, their wonderful relationship. And obviously he is so well known as a Mexican muralist. So when I got to Guadalajara, I was introduced to José Clemente Orozco. And the whole idea of mural art, political art, is a fairly South American, Central American in origin. It seems to have had some of its birthright there. Would you comment on what you feel about political art in the mural form?
You're referring to the murals in the public buildings in the state capital in Guadalajara by Orozco, yes, which are extraordinary. I mean, as you have said as well, and I also mentioned before, this kind of site-specific art is the most engaging, and making it political art makes it even more enriching and more passionate and more interesting, I think. And there, the Orozco and the Riveras throughout Mexico are absolutely extraordinary works of art.
One of my favorite images from the trip and seeing the Orozco murals was taking a shot of my daughter lying down. She's an art history major, and she was lying down on a bench looking up at the ceiling of the Orozco murals. And it was such a delightful new way to experience art.
That's the Man of Fire?
Yes, yes.
Yes, which is the sort of dramatic culmination of the entire thing, with a figure sort of ascending into heaven. That must be a great picture.
Yes, it really was. Thank you so much for being part of this effort and giving us more to think about as we travel and view art.
Thank you, Sid, for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, Amanda, I think anybody going to Mexico would want to put the murals of Diego Rivera on their list, even if they're not aware of what he's done. These murals are just thrilling to watch.
They are. I mean, we mentioned just before the University Autónoma, mm-hmm. where he, with a group of assistants, painted the most incredible fresco cycle, which are, I think they cover about 3,500 square feet of walls. And they're panels that examine good government and bad government, showing peasant and industrial workers working in harmony for the greater good of society. So again, as we were saying before, extremely powerful, partly because they engulf you. You are completely immersed in them. And they are beautifully done. He really adapts the work to the space. There are these circular windows in the room that used to be, I think it was formerly a chapel. And the way the figures and the sun, I think it is painted around the windows, and the figures curl slightly around the windows. So he really has adapted the figures and the subject matter to the space. And as you walk in it, you are completely immersed.
Now you can get that. You can get that same sort of workers' fervor and inspiration in the United States with the Diego Rivera murals at the Detroit Institute of Arts.
Absolutely. Very, very similar, all-engulfing, very, very moving cycle of painting.
Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, we're considering the many types of stunning visual scenes you can find all over the Americas with Amanda Renshaw from Faden Books. She's their editorial director and served as lead editor for their art book called Art and Place, Site-Specific Art of the Americas. Their website is faden.com. That's spelled P-H-A-I-D-O-M. Amanda, I was just down in Nicaragua and El Salvador. I noticed a lot of the political art down there has been painted over because there's a different party in power. And we have that interesting dynamic going on in the United States where murals that some people would say have a socialist kind of bent are in risk of being painted over. Did you encounter any of that in your research for Art in Place?
Yes, I mean, we had certain criteria about what could be included. We created a database of probably about 2,000 sites, but we had to have certain rules, criteria for inclusion. And one of them was that the work had to be permanent, and two, that it couldn't have been moved. It still had to be in the place that it was made for. And of course, there are many political works that have been moved or have been painted over that couldn't be included in the work. There are also performance works that couldn't be included. At the back of the book, we do include a section of key works that were site-specific that have since been destroyed or covered up or moved. Mm-hmm. One of them is actually a performance work that is by a German artist. In 1974, Joseph Beuys arrived at JFK Airport. He was wrapped in felt and taken by ambulance to the René Bloch Gallery. He stayed there for 3 days, just him and a coyote. And the coyote was chosen for its sort of special spiritual significance to Native Americans. And he also had a cane and a flashlight, and the Wall Street Journal was delivered every day.
Whoa. So that gives a whole new challenge for somebody like you editing an art book of what makes it and what deserves to be in a book. And I mean, it's a big question for you. What art will be around next year for people to actually experience?
Yes, well, there are some works in the book. The earliest work is from about 9,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that that will still be here. That's in a sequence of caves that's on a remote cliff surrounded by an outstanding landscape with a sort of river running deep below it in a canyon in Patagonia in Argentina. I mean, who were the men or the women who stencil their hands on the walls and ceilings of the rocks in these caves? Mm. These walls are covered with red, white, and brown outlines of hands, very often left hands, so I guess their markers were mostly right-handed, the makers of these. But who made them? What did they make them for?
Mm-hmm.
Who were these people? What was their status in society? What do these pictures mean? You know, are they markings to say, I am here, like sometimes people scrawl in toilet, you know, walls? Are they the hands of the sick, hoping they might get better, or was the rock lucky? And the hands aren't the only things there. There are caves that also include paintings of hunting scenes with hunters attacking animals. And so why were they painted? I mean, these are things, as I say, that have lasted for 9,000 years. So hopefully they will still be there for hundreds and hundreds of years to come. And then the most recent work in the book is from 2012 by Jorge Pardo, who designed a number of sprawling buildings in Mexico, also that are sort of resplendent with patterned ceramic tiles and bulbous lamps that create this endless pattern and repetition of shapes and forms from room to room in this sequence of buildings in Mexico.
It's an amazing world of art that we can appreciate outside of the museums, art and place, site-specific art of the Americas. We've been talking with Amanda Renshaw, and she's the lead editor of Art and Place, Site-Specific Art in the Americas. Amanda, this is an eye-opener to think of all the art, ancient and modern, that's not in museums, but site-specific in our own hemisphere. If you were the national curator of site-specific art here in the United States, what would your agenda be?
Well, I know that the World Monuments Fund has a very long list of sites that are on watch. And many people can, anybody in fact, can fill in a form which they send in to the World Monuments Fund to recommend that various sites should be on watch. And I would go through that list in great detail, as they do already, to be honest, and help raise money for the conservation and the protection of works of art, but that would be protected, but in such a way that we could still visit them.
Mm-hmm. And you'd recognize the mission then of the World Monuments Fund to make sure this art, because it's not protected in museums, is there for future generations to enjoy.
That's correct. And I mean, just to perhaps refer back to the book, I mean, a book, however good it is, can never replace looking at and experiencing the original. Mm-hmm. And what we try and do with the book is to hope that it serves as an introduction and a guide to those of us who cannot visit these many, many extraordinary places.
And this book can take you from top to bottom in our hemisphere and enjoy art and place. Site-specific art in the Americas. Amanda Renshaw, thank you so much for being with us and best wishes with your work.
Thank you.
At its high desert altitude, the natural light of New Mexico has a unique way of amplifying the landscape in surprising ways. Up next, Christina Nielsen takes us to some of her favorite sacred places in New Mexico. Our number is 877-333-7425 at Travel with Rick Steves.